Welcome to Southeast Geeks, a Silicon Slopes East podcast devoted to what people are geeky about in southeastern Utah. I'm your host, Jade Powell. On these podcasts, we interview locals, business owners, and individuals that like to spend time in Southeast Utah for one geeky reason or another. These episodes may be about individuals or companies doing high-tech things in the region or entertaining activities that people are passionate about. Today, I'm talking with Jamie Hackbarth from the Economic Development Administration. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners, maybe some hobbies, education, whatever you want to share.
Sounds good. Yeah. So as you mentioned, I'm Jamie, born and raised in Columbus, Ohio. And I'm very much, I would say, a typical Midwest transplant in the Mountain West. I live in Denver, Colorado, but work in Utah with my role with the Economic Development Administration. My hobbies outside of work, you can find me in the mountains usually, skiing, hiking, camping with friends. I also teach yoga on the side. That's what I like to do in my free time, but a lot of my, I would say my work is part of my passion as well, which I am fortunate in that matter as well.
So you said, I have a couple of follow-up questions on that. So you like the mountains.
Love the mountains.
Skiings. What else do you, so skiing, you said?
Skiing in the winter, hiking in the summer, and then camping, sometimes backpacking. I've tried a lot of the other mountain sports, and my fear usually stops me from mountain biking or rock climbing a little bit, but I will try a little bit of everything.
I get it.
Yeah.
What about yoga? That's something I didn't know about you.
Yeah. So I teach yoga a couple times a week when I'm in Denver, usually pick that up from my mom and sister are actually yoga teachers as well. And I got trained during COVID and I teach at a couple studios around Denver and I love it.
But you like to be outdoors. So do you ever do outdoor yoga or anything?
I do. Yeah. I have not taught an outdoor yoga class in a long time, but I like to take it outdoors and I will practice on my own a lot outdoors as well.
Very cool. What about your education?
So I studied strategic communication is what I got my bachelor's in from Miami University of Ohio. Always have to clarify that with concentrations in marketing in Spanish. So honestly, kept it rather broad and vague, which kind of led me down a zigzag career of how I got to where I am today. Right after college, I was in the Peace Corps in Peru, really focused in grassroots development in a small town in northern Peru, where I was there for about 2.5 years and then came back and found my way out to the Mountain West and worked at the Colorado Office of Economic Development for a few years and regional development on a variety of programs from opportunity zones to stuff with SBDCs and all of that. And then escaped again abroad for a little bit with an international education company and COVID evacuated me out of that job out of Guatemala. And now I'm at the EDA today, which I'm very grateful for. It's been kind of a whirlwind to get here, but a learning experience all at the same time.
So when you were with the Colorado Office of Economic Development, did you have ties to the EDA or how did you just apply for the EDA or how did you kind of?
A little bit, yeah. So I came back and I was unemployed due to both the companies I was working for going under because of COVID and started reaching out to old colleagues throughout Colorado, and EDA was doing special hiring authority due to the CARES Act. So reached out and applied and was familiar with it, but not as nearly familiar as it, as I am now. Got the job, but they were involved in some of our work, like on our advisory committee for some of the opportunity zone work we did throughout the state.
So what is the EDA? I mean, I know it's the Economic Development Administration, but what do they do? They're separated into districts. So like, could you just provide a little bit more context into that?
Great question. Yeah. And I didn't know a lot about what the EDA did before I worked there. So the EDA stands for Economic Development Administration. We are a grant making agency that sits within the U.S. Department of Commerce. We do serve the whole nation and U.S. territories as well, but we are separated out into regional offices. So my specific position as the economic development representative sits within the regional office, and that's the Denver regional office that covers about 10 different states. And each state has a representative such as myself with the goal to really help serve its stakeholders, make the application process for our grants more transparent and accessible. So I came on serving both Colorado and Utah, and now I'm specifically focused on Utah. So that's why you get to talk to me more every day to your luck.
And you specifically work with the economic development districts.
Yes.
Which there's 7 in Utah.
Yes. Yeah.
Which are also aligned with being of the 7 AOGs in Utah.
Yes. Yeah. Which is great. Not every state is not covered by EDDs the way Utah is. So every single county has an economic development district. So if you're listening and you don't know who yours is, if you're in southeastern Utah, obviously reach out to Jade and Jerry. But look into it. They're great resources. So they're really kind of what I kind of say are like the ambassadors of a lot of the regional and local economic development work happening and connecting the dots. I'm not making it just this city doing this and this county doing this, but thinking on that more regional approach and really being the champions, as well as putting forward doing the planning work with the comprehensive economic development strategy, but actually putting that plan into action as well. And those are funded on an annual basis. And any project we fund on the competitive side of things needs to align with that SEDS, the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy.
Which the economic development districts draft and put into place.
Yes.
Implement, yeah. Things like that. Yeah. So you mentioned it's a competitive process, competitive for the grants. Are there specific grants for like urban areas versus rural areas? Is it all one pot? And things like that.
So there's national programming or national grants, and then there are regional grants. The national grants and the regional grants are really open to everyone from urban and rural. I would say our national grants have a specific focus depending on that program. And the regional ones are what I work on, so I can speak to you a little bit more. And I like to say it's our most flexible funding opportunity. It's called the Public Works and Economic Adjustment Assistance Grant Opportunity. So everything's very long titled in our agency.
As it is with the federal government.
It is. Yeah, a little alphabet soup to keep you on your toes. But that can fund more planning, such as, say, a feasibility study for a business incubator. And that could be in rural or urban. But just really to like do that due diligence of what you might want to be building out. It could do programmatic efforts, such as the grant that we funded with you all with the Southeastern Rural Diversification Grant of funding business programming and certification and trainings for businesses in the area, to anything for workforce development training, to revolving loan funds. And then on the far end of the side of the spectrum of our funds, we fund large-scale infrastructure and construction. It does look different between urban and rural because it's not a one-size-fits-all model. We want the applicant, it could be the county, it could be the town, it could be the EDD themselves or a nonprofit coming forward with that regional support saying, this is what we need and why, and how it's responding to the economic impacts in the area.
Jamie, thanks for your insights on potential EDA projects and what they can fund. As a break in the interview, we'd like to play a game with you called Geeky or Game Over.
It looks like the geek is on sneak. It's time to play Geeky or Game Over.
The way the game works is I will give you a topic and you will answer that you are geeky about it if you like it, or you would answer Game Over if you don't like it or haven't heard of it. You are welcome to elaborate further on your answers if you'd like. Are you ready to play?
I am very ready to play. Let's do this.
Lord of the Rings.
Game Over.
Game Over.
I've tried to watch it several times, and I fall asleep in the first 10 minutes.
Same.
It's something about it. It's like NyQuil for me.
Well, like hobbits just don't like pique my interest. It's just
I guess not mine either, but they make me fall. They give me a good night's sleep.
What about superhero movies then?
Kind of in between, I'd say. I don't like seek them out per se, but when I do watch them, I do love them. And this is kind of cheesy in a way, but I love like real superhero movies of like real day heroes in a way, not necessarily superheroes, but
all right. Good. That puts me to sleep too.
Good heartfelt stuff. You're like, okay, next one.
So what is your, if you don't like Lord of the Rings or superhero movies per se,
Harry Potter,
you like Harry Potter?
Yeah.
That's what you're geeky about.
I'm geeky about it. I was looking at How to Get to Harry Potter World recently, actually.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Are you going to go?
Yeah. Not yet, but maybe one day.
I've been twice.
Oh, you have?
Yep, I've been twice.
You recommend it?
Sure. I've never once watched all the movies. I've never read a Harry Potter book.
Really?
But I've been there twice.
Interesting. So I've read all of them, watched all of them several times. This is the season that I watch Harry Potter.
I can see it.
Yeah.
I guess. If you're into that kind of stuff.
Seems a little judgmental, Jade.
What about soccer?
Soccer. Ooh, I'm not fully geeky or game over on that either. So I don't follow it like religiously at all. Or like I enjoy watching the World Cup games that are happening right now, but I'm not cheering.
Right.
I do love playing it, which I picked up in Peru. I'd never played it growing up. And then I started playing on the women's team when I was in the Peace Corps there with my local community.
Oh, really?
So I do love playing it. It's such a hard sport. And now I have like pretty mad respect for all the players that I do sometimes watch here and there. So,
okay, one last one. Board games.
Geeky. I love board games.
What's your favorite?
I brought a board game. Oh, yeah. Out with me the other night with friends.
I thought you were going to say like out like from Denver with you here to Price. Like
I might have some cards in my bag. But
I really like card games. Yeah. So that's something I'm geeky about.
Yeah.
Different types of card games.
I love them. Yeah.
Through COVID-19, we saw large investments by the federal government through CARES Act funding. What projects excited you the most that you saw?
Yeah. So EDA, to put it into perspective, compared to our normal funding amounts with CARES Act, we had $1.5 billion. And then with ARPA, we had $3 billion, which normally on a given year nationally, we have $300 million to give out.
Wow.
So with ARPA, it 10 times it. With CARES, it was about half of that. But I mean, just huge portfolio. And I came on during that time in this role.
All within like
2 to 3 years.
2 to 3 years of each other.
Yeah. So the largest amount of quantity investments and probably the largest diverse portfolio, because it allowed us to invest in certain projects we might not normally on a normal year. So, which was an exciting time to come on. Some of the ones, I mean, there's so many that come to mind. One in particular is the one in your region, that Build Back Better phase one funding that you all got, which if you have not heard about, go listen to the episode before this with Alyssa Kay that overviews that work. But it was, I think even just with that investment, with the phase one funding, it's been exciting to see the coalition work, the momentum, the projects being defined, that which hopefully will be funded in other avenues. Unfortunately, it wasn't funded for phase two, but I think it's built it up for success moving forward. And I'm excited for that for you all. And you guys are the champions behind that.
Yeah, we still hold a grudge against EDA.
I know.
I'm not funding us.
Yeah, they took me to the swell a little bit ago. And I think we're going to push me off.
I'm just kidding. We understand the process that it had to go through. And,
yeah.
And things like that.
Yeah, but it did. I mean, I think putting it into perspective too, even getting phase one was such a huge accomplishment, because there were over 500 applications. And you guys were
One
out of 60 finalists. And beyond that, I think some of the other exciting ones, non-competitively, we're able to fund some of the recovery work for each economic development district around the state, which was great to see. And you guys could define that of what that meant to you with recovery coordinators or additional planning. And then some statewide ones, we just saw some more investments, I would say, in Indigenous communities and kind of more projects that had a more equitable lens, which seems to be that trajectory moving forward, is how can we fund projects serving underserved areas such as rural, minority populations, Indigenous populations, et cetera. So it was, I think, an amplified time that I hope we'll continue to see drive forward in our regular fiscal year funding as well.
Very much so. I think that's something we also recognize, you know, through the shift of CARES Act funding and ARPA funds and everything along with that, is that there's a lot more emphasis put on equity and inclusion and making mm-hmm. sure that that's a major component of your project is mm-hmm. how are you addressing being equitable and inclusive of all populations and cultures within mm-hmm. your project?
Yeah. And hopefully, yeah, how are those populations, geographies, are they involved in the project development as well? So,
right.
And you guys have been doing that work down here as well. So it's been great to see.
We're trying. We're trying our best.
Yeah.
So part of EDA applications, there has to be either a job created or jobs retained as part of the projects. So how does EDA like to see those private investments made with projects?
Great question. And that is, I would say, a common thread of a lot of kind of the different types of projects we do fund. So especially with our infrastructure and construction projects, we want to see a private company committing to creating or retaining, depending on the project, X amount of jobs as a result of that project. So no funds can go directly to a private business itself. But say if we fund a county for an industrial park infrastructure, we know because of that road infrastructure that two businesses will now be able to expand and create those jobs because of it. So businesses are ideally working with their county, town, city officials on those projects that are committed to doing that. And then more on the programmatic side, say for funding a workforce development training program.
Such as the Rural Diversification Grant.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, like that one. And we funded down in Blanding, USU Blanding, with their CDL workforce development. We like to see hiring commitments from businesses on that side or entrepreneurs that you're able to track after they go through those trainings, like the rural diversification trainings, and if they're able to track job creation or retention related to that as well. So it varies on the project, but it is an important sector of the economic development piece.
But from what I understand, it's kind of a thin line of EDA can only fund public entities.
Yes. So public entities or nonprofits, but the nonprofit has to have public entity support, essentially. Yeah, so no private business pass-throughs.
However, they like to see the private investment. That's what makes applications a little bit stronger, too.
Yes. So, yeah, they like to see private sector commitments of job creation or retention on any type of project and that they're working with the regional applicant or the local applicant on that project and committed to doing so.
Are there any upcoming or emerging projects happening in the Denver regional office that you can share?
So projects or like grants or
whatever you're seeing.
Yeah. So out of Denver regional office, we are back to our regular fiscal year funding. So no more stimulus funds coming our way, but we always have our flexible funding opportunity available on a rolling basis for cities, towns, counties, et cetera, to come to me and speak with. Another one that is upcoming in the coming year is our University Center program will be opening again and currently in Utah. Southern Utah University and Utah Tech University are awarded that University Center. And then more on a national scale, recently there's a lot of different programming coming out called Communities of Practice, which are essentially kind of peer learning groups, cohorts coming together around a specific topic. And if anybody's interested in those, there's a variety of kind of different opportunities from tech-based cohorts to coal-reliant community cohorts, EDDs, RLFs, or economic development districts, revolving loan funds, et cetera. So those are interesting opportunities that are coming out. And I would say the best way to keep up to date on that is going to our website, eda.gov, and subscribing to the newsletter or reaching out to your economic development district and connecting with myself as well.
Very cool. And so you mentioned, you know, the communities of practice. Is that where building resilient economies and coal communities kind of, that's kind of where they kind of live?
Yes. Yeah. So NACO, the National Association of Counties, is leading out that work at a national scale. I believe they did a regional cohort a couple years ago that I think Carbon and Emory County were involved in. And the goal is getting national coal impacted communities together to learn about best practices, best diversification, transition strategies, workforce transition strategies, all of that. So that is one. And then I believe another one is technically Build Back Better has a communities of practice as well. So any Build Back Better finalists, both phase one and phase two, will continue to learn from each other as they move forward in the coalition building.
Yes. And we're very engaged in that.
So you're in it. You're doing it.
We are a community of practice.
Cool. Love the term.
Are there any, in closing, are there any last thoughts that you'd like to share with the group, share with me?
I mean, I would say in general, I mean, I think it's been great working with you and Jerry. And I think across Utah, the economic development districts are a huge strength to the region. So I think people should definitely utilize and connect with them. And it's always just great to be here in person with you. So thanks for having me.
Well, thanks, Jamie. Thanks for taking some time out of your day to talk to the listeners about what's happening in Southeastern Utah and in rural America all over. EDA has been a great partner with the Economic Development District that we have here in Southeastern Utah, funding many projects, creating many jobs, helping retain many jobs. And so we look forward to even more partnerships that we can form with the EDA and help with that investment.
Thanks, Jane. This was fun.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening. Until next time, take care of yourself.